Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hi everyone, Klaatu here. I want to talk about winter magic. Now it's Christmas time right now as I record this, which means in the Northern Hemisphere, it's winter. I'm in the Southern Hemisphere, New Zealand, and it is Christmas time here as well, but it's, 18 degrees Celsius, which is pretty hot. It's summer here. So not only do I have an affinity for winter magic, or cold-based magic, just in general, right about now, I really, really want some winter magic. Luckily, there was a big sale over at the opengamingstore.com on a bunch of books, or almost booklets, really, from a company called Super Genius Games. They had a variety of booklets that they put out in all the package, delivered 100 different PDF files, which isn't actually as much as it sounds because most of the books, let's say, average about 10 pages, but it's a lot of really good content. So I don't know if it's still on sale by the time you hear this, but if you are looking for some really nice gaming materials to get inspired by or to hand out to players, these are really great. One of my problems oftentimes is that I'll be traveling somewhere and I'll go to a gaming group on the road, and so I won't have all my books with me. Or I'll be GMing as I'm traveling, and I won't have materials to give to players. Not that every player needs materials, but I do like my players to be empowered by having a list of spells or some kind of cheat sheet that they can use to know what they can possibly do in a game. And while I could just make some copies of the spell chapter from the core rulebook or the player's handbook, I find those a little bit tedious because they're not organized by class. So a new player has to sort through a bunch of spells that don't apply to them to find the ones that do, and then when they do find one, it may not even be within their level yet. So having a little booklet, a little pamphlet of a bunch of very specific kinds of spells or a bunch of specific feats or skills that I can print out at the hotel printer or at the local office center, whatever, and hand them out to my players so that they know what they can do during the game. I find that really, really useful. So if you need something like that, then the Super Genius Game PDF collection is definitely worth it. And to highlight this, I thought I'd talk about one of the booklets that I received. And as I've said, I'm kind of pining for some winter weather right now. But also, I find that the winter-based and ice-based, cold-based magic in any handbook or rulebook that I've come across typically goes pretty light on the ice-based magic. I think that for a lot of people, fire and even acid and disease and, you know, so necrotic damage, that just, for some reason, that feels more destructive and more immediate to people. And I don't know why that is, because in fact, ice can be quite damaging. There are lots of really wonderful things that can go wrong when you are exposed to extreme cold. I feel like ice can both be insidious and creep up on you while it's doing its damage, or it can be loud and bold and obvious and do brutal bludgeoning damage to you or piercing damage in the right conditions. So the Ice Magic book from Super Genius Games is 10 pages exactly, with 9 or really 8 of those pages being filled with actual content. So it's very manageable, which I like, because again, I like to print these out and give them to my players. Included in the PDF are a couple of spells, some low levels, mid-level, high-level, and I think I can probably cover them all in this episode. I might skip a couple of the basic ones, I'm not sure. But then on the last 2 or 3 pages, there are some icy options, which are specialties and bloodline powers for characters. When you're building them, you can give them these backgrounds. There's a new ice domain, and even an Arctic template for living creatures, generally, obviously, animals and magical beasts. So if you have some monster from a monster manual or bestiary, apply the Arctic template to it, and now it's an Arctic whatever, Arctic Boulette. Although, actually, I read in Dragon Magazine, an early version of, early edition of Dragon Magazine, that Boulette was actually officially pronounced Boulet. Anyway, the spells provided in this PDF are, let's start with the obvious one, I guess, Arctic Air. This is an evocation spell for sorcerers and wizards and druids. Sorcerer wizard level 3, druid level 4. The range is 100 feet plus 10 feet per level, and the area that it can cover is 20 feet radius, centered from whatever the target is. Targets receive a fortitude save to halve the damage, and will to negate. This spell may be centered on a point in space, or on a creature or object. If centered on a point in space, the area is immobile. If centered on a creature or object, then if it moves, the area moves. Each round, a creature within the area of the spell is dealt 2d6 points of cold damage. Again, fortitude for half. Creatures take this damage on their round if they are within the area at any point during their turn, but take damage only once each turn. So that's a pretty obvious one. It is making the air cold and dealing damage in an area. It's more or less like a cone of cold, except you're making a couple of trade-offs. You're getting a little bit more range. I mean, depending on the version of the spell that you're looking at. But generally, from what I'm used to, you get a little bit more range for a little bit of a reduced damage. And either way, it's printable and in one place, so I like it. The next one is Algid Aura. This is an abjuration spell for druids of 5th level or sorcerers and wizards of 5th level, and I really like this one. This is exactly what winter magic should be to me. The Algid Aura covers the caster in a field of freezing air, and it's so cold that if the caster's walking around, the air that passes by him turns into any humidity in the air turns into tiny little snowflakes. So you can imagine this wizard or druid who has cast this spell on them walking around, and there's little sparkles flying off of them, and it's ice. It's all ice just flowing off of them like glitter. Flavor-wise, I love that. And then mechanically, this makes the spellcaster immune to effects of mundane cold. So a little bit like Endure Elements from the Classic Player's Handbook or Core Rulebook. And maybe even better yet, any creature striking the caster with a melee attack must make a fortitude save or be temporarily flash frozen, meaning that if they fail the save, they are frozen in place for one round. They can breathe, they're aware of their surroundings, but they can't take any physical actions, including speech. So that's probably one of my favorite spells, and I'm usually not really all that keen on abjuration, to be honest, but that one shouts winter magic to me. A slightly higher level spell here is Sorcerer Wizard 7, Druid 9, and it's an avalanche. Reflex save will half the damage, but this pretty much does exactly what you'd think it does, and that is it causes an avalanche into an affected area, dealing 1d8 points of cold damage per 2 caster levels at a maximum of 10d8, and it affects every creature and object that takes damage as if it was hit with a bull rush with a CMB of 10 plus the caster level. That's obviously Pathfinder 3.5 terminology. You could adjust it for 5th edition if that's what you're playing. Biting Wind is a first level spell, and this is, again, a pretty good range. This is 100 plus 10 per level, so 110 feet if you're casting it at first level, I guess. And it lasts for a minute per level, which is a good amount of time. Fortitude only partially saves from this. The spell creates an animate wind of freezing cold air that moves and attacks a single target as directed by the caster for a full minute. The breeze must make a touch attack using the caster's ranged attack bonus, dealing 1d6 points of subdual damage. The wind is invisible, gains all the bonuses of an invisible attacker. The wind strikes as a spell rather than a weapon, and thus can hit incorporeal creatures for 50% damage. It's a pretty powerful first level spell, and I'm a big fan of it. I think granting that to a new player who usually, you know, first level spells, they're a bit touch and go sometimes. I think that one's a really nice one. Speaking of nice spells, this is another first level spell for sorcerer and wizard called Blue Touch. This is a conjuration healing spell. Blue Touch covers one of the caster's hands, with a blue aura, which is transferred by touch to a creature or object. The aura draws out heat of whatever is touched, healing 1d4 HP plus 1 point per level of the caster for a maximum of 1d4 plus 5 points. The healing only works on HP lost to fire damage or on any damage suffered by a creature of the cold type. I like this one for a couple of different reasons. I know some people really don't like their sorcerers and wizards to have healing capabilities, so I feel like this one makes a good compromise. It gives a little bit of healing to a sorcerer and wizard, which I think is good, frankly. I don't have a problem with sorcerers and wizards healing. Some people do, though. And it restricts it. So it makes the people who don't want the sorcerers and wizards to go around acting like clerics, it gives a little bit of a restriction. And it's an obvious restriction. It's one of those things that just makes sense. If someone has been damaged by heat, then the Ice Magician ought to be able to heal them by counteracting the bad manifestation of damage with good manifestation of the opposite of fire, which is cold. So that's a nice one. I think that's a really, it gets around some issues really well. Here's a 0th level spell. So this is a cantrip. It's called Create Ice. This spell generates a sheet of ice. It's clear, pure, enough ice to generate, enough ice to cover 1 5-foot square, which is treated as difficult terrain. The ice melts after 1 hour or 10 minutes in hot terrain. Frost Fighters is a 4th level spell for sorcerers and wizards. This is a conjuration summoning spell. The spell summons 4 small ice elementals, which look like soft-looking clumps of snow. Sounds kind of cute, actually. The ice elementals do their best to defend the spellcaster, and if the spellcaster can communicate with them, they take orders. So there's a section in this PDF about ice options, and in that you can take, as part of your build, your character build, the ability to obviously communicate with elementals and so on. Don't know how deeply I'll cover that in this episode, but that's what they're referring to. Frost Field is a 2nd level spell. Spell creates a field of magical frost that coats everything within the area. All mundane fires up to the size of a bonfire are immediately extinguished. Creatures of the fire type take 3d6 cold damage. Frost Field can also be used against spells with the fire descriptor in the same way a dispel magic spell can be used against them. Another one that I really like. That's a great one. I mean, that's what you would expect an ice-based wizard to be able to do. And I think the fact that, as far as I know, at least, I mean, I've read through the spells quite a bit, and I don't recall one from off the top of my head in the handbook or the core rulebook of Pathfinder that provides that kind of area effect that is ice-based. There's other stuff that might do similar things. Like druids can sometimes manipulate that sort of stuff, but it's not a given. And even if it is there somewhere as an option, and it may be, but it's not really spelled out. So having it spelled out like this is nice. Having it in a printable format, nicely grouped with all the other wintry kinds of spells, I do like it. Here's a 9th level spell. I'm not too crazy about this, or I'm not like excited about this one, but it's useful, I'm sure. Glacier is what it's called. And it creates an anchored area of ice up to 100 foot square per level, 20 feet thick. It has hardness, and it's a wall, essentially. It's a big wall, sort of like Wall of Stone. You can't manifest it over an object or a creature, so it's not like Wall of Fire, for instance, where you can shoot this thing straight through your enemies for instant damage, but it's obviously a blockade that you could certainly use. Ice Mirror is level 4 for bards, druids, and sorcerer and wizards. Ice Mirror creates an invisible magical sensor at a specific location that allows you to see as if you were in that location. You don't need line of sight or line of effect, but the locale must be known to you, a place familiar, or an obvious one. I think that's a great one. It's pretty simple. There are a couple of magical sensor spells out there. This one's just flavored for ice, so it's nothing revolutionary, but kind of nice for the ice domain to have its own version of it. There's also the greater version of the same spell with a couple of more options. Another 4th level for sorcerer and wizards is Ice Shockle. That is Ice Shockle. It's 1 hour per level duration. It creates an 8-foot long sharp growth of ice along one of the caster's forearms, jutting out 5 to 6 feet past his wrist, creating a frozen weapon that looks like a cross between a sword and a lance. This weapon can be wielded by the caster as a piercing, slashing reach weapon that deals 2d6 damage. Caster is automatically proficient with this weapon and attacks with it as if he had a 20 strength. If the caster's strength is greater than 20, he can use his own modifiers. The weapon has a threat range of 19 to 20 and a three times critical modifier. You could probably make an argument that this is overpowered, but I love it. And once again, it kind of betrays the classic concept of what, at least in-game, a sorcerer or wizard should be, but I've never really liked that classic interpretation, or at least the insistence that everything has to follow the classic interpretation. I don't mind the Fizbans and the Gandalfs of the world, I just happen to think that they could also be more than that. And Ice Shackle is a great option for a player who does want to do spellcasting, but sometimes just feels like their only option is to duke it out, fight their way out of some sticky situation. So I'll skip the rest. There aren't that many left, but there are a couple, and they're not exactly my favorite anyway, so I'm just going to kind of skip over them, because I do want to talk about some of the other features of this little PDF. And one of them is the Frost Bloodline. Your family has ties to supernatural forces of the frozen north. Perhaps you come from a tribe of barbarians who are descended from frost giants, or maybe you were born with the mark of an ice linorm on your skin. Your class skill is survival, and your bonus spells are chill touch, fog cloud, sleet storm, ice storm, cone of cold at 11th, freezing sphere, greater ice mirror, polar ray, and glacier. Bonus feats: arcane armor training, cold focus, defensive combat training, endurance, great fortitude, light armor, proficiency, nimble moves, skill focus, survival. Bloodline arcana: anytime you cast a spell that deals damage, you may choose to have it deal cold damage instead of normal damage. When you use this ability, damaging spells you cast gain the cold descriptor. If the spell has an effect other than dealing damage, there is no change to the non-damaging effect. If you use this ability with spells that have the force descriptor, such as magic missile, the spell loses that descriptor. You treat all spells with the fire descriptor as one level higher for purposes of spells known and spell slots. So you can, for instance, cast Fireball, but it's no longer a third level spell, it's a fourth level spell for you. So I feel like this is the kind of thing that if you were building a wizard or a sorcerer and you wanted to be within that sort of ice domain, then you'd obviously, you'd probably come up with these modifications yourself. It's just nice that they're written out. And again, for new players, it's really handy to just have it spelled out right there. So if someone says, hey, I want to play a nice wizard, or if I think to myself, hey, I want to play a nice wizard, then it's all done. You've got the template right there for you. And it's all very intelligent stuff. It makes total sense. Like, there's nothing in here, really, that you can argue. That doesn't really fit into the theme of everything fits perfectly. The new arcane specialty offered here is Cold Specialist. Wizards who are cold specialists focus on arcane cold of all schools rather than studying one school of magic, as most wizards do. You gain cold resistance 10 at 11th level. This resistance increases to 15, and then at 20th, it changes to immunity to cold damage. Intense cold: whenever you cast a spell that deals cold damage, add half your wizard level to the damage at a minimum of +1. This bonus only applies once to a spell, not once per missile or ray, and cannot be split between multiple missiles or rays. At 20th level, whenever you cast a spell with the cold descriptor, you can roll twice to penetrate a creature's spell resistance and take the better result. Cold mastery: at 6th level, anytime you are within 30 feet of a creature of the cold subtype, as a free action, you can make a knowledge arcana check to learn its type and all subtypes, and any information usually gained from a knowledge check appropriate to its type. The DC of this check is 10 plus the creature's CR rating. Well, that's all very good for sorcerers and wizards and so on, but what about for clerics? I'm quite pleased to have found that the PDF includes an ice domain for clerics, with gods of frost or mountainous regions, maybe, giants, what have you. Granted powers with this domain include: you can manipulate cold and ice and are resistant to cold damage. You get an ice bolt As a standard action, you can unleash a razor-sharp bolt of ice, targeting any foe within 30 feet as a ranged attack. This bolt of ice deals 1d4 piercing damage and 1d4 cold damage plus 1 point of cold damage for every 2 cleric levels you possess. You can use this ability a number of times per day equal to 3 plus your wisdom modifier. So I love that. That's great. That just gives... You see spellcasters carrying around random weapons that don't necessarily ever really make a whole lot of sense. Giving them just a simple ice bolt, it's perfect. They also get cold resistance. At 6th level, you gain cold resistance 10, and then at 20th, and then at 12th, you get 20, and then at 20th, you get the immunity. Domain spells are Biting Cold, Frost Field, Serac, which is one I didn't cover from this PDF, Ice Mirror, Algid Aura, Cone of Cold, Avalanche, Greater Ice Mirror, and Glacier. There's also a feat called Cold Focus that anyone can take. Prerequisite, able to cast one spell with the cold descriptor. The benefit is that you add +2 to the DC for all saving throws against spells that you cast with a cold descriptor. This bonus is considered to be a spell-focused bonus, and thus does not stack with additional DC increases that you might receive from the spell focus feat. And then, of course, as I said, there is a template, which is interesting, but it's a little bit technical to read here. So the template is great, because you can just take whatever creature that you have out of a monster manual or bestiary, apply this template, and now you've got the cold version or the arctic version of that creature. There are several creatures, especially big behemoth-type creatures, that I often feel would be right at home in the icy wastelands, and it never occurred to me that it would be really cool to apply a little bit more flavor to them to make them seem even more at home, or at least, you know, native, really, to that icy wasteland. That's it. That's the Ice Magic booklet from Super Genius Games. The exact title of the booklet is Genius Guide to Ice Magic, and that's a series that they have, the Genius Guide 2. So for their magical releases, I counted about 11 of them, and they are as follows. And all of them are highly recommended, by the way. Genius Guide to Hellfire Magic, Air Magic, Chaos Magic, Crystal Magic, Divination Magic, Dream Magic, Earth Magic, Feats of Meta Magic, Fire Magic, Ice Magic, and Vampire Magic. It probably doesn't cover every possible interest, but that's a lot of different areas of lots of really specifically flavored magic that, again, they're short, they're relatively easy to print out, and you can hand to your players, and they instantly have some really flavorful and colorful spells that they can cast without thumbing through your player's handbook trying to find something that applies to them, or without having to purchase a spell card deck, and so on. Highly recommended. It's all open game license, with the only product identity identified being their company name, the graphical layout, and other graphical elements. So all the text is open game content that you can use and reuse. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as Not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.